Amen. Thank you, Michelle. Hey, can we start that again? God is good. He's good all the time. Did you wake up with breath in your lungs this morning? Yes, you did. Has God made you able to stand? Yes, He has. So that's why I'm going to ask you to stand right now. We do this because there's so many things that go on in a week's time. And as I always say, every Sunday morning, God will make you well able to stand. We serve a well able God. And so I thank God that, you know what, God made sure that you returned to this house safely. So if there's been some things on your heart, if you have a prayer request this morning, I'm going to ask you to just begin to turn those things over to God. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done. God, every mountain that you've moved this week. Father God, every healing that's taken place this week. God, every addiction, God, Lord, that's been laid at your feet this week. God, I thank you that you've collected it. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I bind up right now, God, alcoholism, God, in this place, God, drug addiction, Lord, I bind up depression in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, God, that where there's a healing, God, I ask that you make a healing created in these bodies that's in need today. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. God, I thank you right now for all that you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm happy to be here in God's house. God is so good and God is so faithful. I don't know how you've came in here this morning, but I want to tell you that God is there. I want to tell you that God is well able. I want to tell you that God knows exactly what you face. He holds you in the palm of His hand. He will not let you go. The Word of God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then guess what? I'm going to come back and get you. I want to tell everybody here, you want to go on that bus. Amen? You want to go on that trip. So, it's funny how you age. Have you ever just looked back and you think about yourself 5 years ago and you think, wow, I've kind of evolved. And as the older I get, sometimes I laugh because I can see how I've matured a little bit. Now, y'all don't go getting excited. I haven't matured that much. All right. But some of you used to change my diapers, so I've matured a little bit. But, you know, what I have been doing here lately is I always preach out of the overflow of my life because that's what I know. I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you about something I don't know. I'm going to stand here and preach the Word of God to you about something that I know. And what the Lord has been doing in my life here lately is I've just said, God, open up my understanding so I can understand your words. And I've been taking line upon line, precept upon precept, and just hanging on every single word. Every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's what we're living off of. See, man doesn't live by bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why it's so important to know what God says about you. Amen. When you go to the doctor, you don't want to hear about nobody else. You want to hear about what's going on with you. And so let's go this morning to Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to be studying here this morning. I've had a very interesting week for multiple reasons. And I'm sure you have as well. Lord, I just thank you right now for your word, God. I'm not going to ask you to bless your word. God, your word is already blessed. But Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I ask that you would open up the understanding, God, of every person that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, I thank you right now that this word falls on good ground, God, and that it takes root. Lord, that it changes the lives of your kids, God, forever, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, my son, if you accept my words. And I'm going to tell you something. You ever talk to somebody and they're unteachable? You can't tell them anything. They're a know-it-all. If you've never talked to one of them type of people, you may be one of them type of people. I don't know. Now, I keep it real here. So there's nothing worse than talking to a know-it-all because you can never get a word in edgewise because they know it all. And so the Word of God says here, if you can accept my word. See, God is constantly talking. He tells us so much stuff in his words. But the question is, can you accept the words of God? See, when God tells you to love your enemy, can you accept that? When he tells you to be faithful, can you accept that? When he tells you that he'll heal your body, can you accept the healing word that God said over your life? When he says, hey, I can heal that marriage that looks far gone, can you accept that? See, if you can't accept the words that are coming out of God's mouth, then there's not much hope, because you got to accept what God says about you. When God says that you are the head and not the tail, you have to accept that, because there's a devil and he's constantly telling you that you're less than, that you're beneath. And see, God's always trying to scoop you up and say, look here, child of God, I want to put you on the top. But you've got to accept that. And so it says here, my son, if you accept my words, number one, and number two, and store up my commands within you. See, God will tell you something, and he'll tell you things to do. And when God tells you things to do, you store them things up in your life. Now, we have just had the best illustration of storing up, I think, that America has ever seen with this toilet paper problem. All right? I am probably the only person in the world trying to figure out, why is everybody valuing toilet paper so much? I mean, they got rags too. There's a pandemic and we're worried about the toilet paper. Now, that's a little ridiculous. Now, that's just truth. I'm going, there is a national, worldwide pandemic and you folks are worried about toilet paper. I don't get it. Man, please enlighten me, America. I ain't worried about that toilet paper. First thing we did was got a bidet. Is that how you say it? A bidet? I don't like them things. They're weird. Anyways, y'all are a hard crowd this morning. Don't worry. I'm going to get you. I'm going to butter you up and make you laugh and give you a word of God. So it says, and store up my commands within you. Look here, let me just be very bluntly honest with you. Every chair in this building should be full. You know why it's not? Because people, they don't care about what God's really saying. They don't care that there's another part of the covenant that they got to work out. See, the Word of God says, work out your own salvation and work it out with fear and work it out with trembling. Because look here, some of the stuff that we get up in is scary. We got to work those things out. We got to crucify that flesh nature of ours and put it under the blood of Jesus. And that's some scary stuff. But you know what? Store up those commands. Store them up. Store them up. Store them up. First thing I did is I said, where is the largest vat of toilet paper that could be found in the world? You know where I found it to be? Amazon. Amazon and my family are like this. I got a place for them on Thanksgiving dinner at the table. I love Amazon. The FedEx guy, he's always going, what do you order every day? I said, everything. I don't really need to be out in the public every day. Sometimes I wake up and it's not a good day for that. If I need dish soap, we're going to order that off of Amazon. That's just how it is. And so it says that we got to store up his commands within us, turning your ear to wisdom. Turn that ear to wisdom. Look here. You want to see if somebody wants to really follow after God? You look at that person and you look at yourself, because look here, you got to look at yourself first. Look at yourself. The first thing that God says, look here, I want to change in this area. You're either going to turn your ear to God or you're going to turn your life back over to wherever it was to begin with. But look here, that person that'll turn their ear to what the living God wants to say, that person is going to begin to produce fruit out of their life. We're talking about wisdom here today. Look here, you're not going to get wisdom by not listening to God. You got to listen to God. See, when God's telling you, hey, suit up and show up, that's what he means. I looked outside today and it was thundering, and I said, baby, guess what? Everybody and their dog's going to be calling this morning because it's raining. That's what happens when it rains. Pastor, I'm sick. All right. Your sick self needs to be on the Facebook Live. That's why we have Facebook Live now. You think I wanted to be a televangelist ever? No. You know why? Because I'm not very politically correct. So this is a stretch for me. But look here, folks. In all seriousness, you're either going to turn your ear to what God is saying, which is some things with wisdom, or you're not going to be listening to God. Look here. You have one day where you don't listen to God, it can mess your life up. It can totally set you off course. See, how many days can you afford to go by not listening to God? How long can people go? None, that's right. And it says, so turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Applying your heart to understanding. There's a lot of days where I wake up and I say, God, help me understand what's going on in my life. God, help me to understand what you're trying to do. How many of you can know when there's things that are just above you, like knowledge-wise? Case in point, last year when they decided they wanted to give them kids to us in March and not take them back for 5 months at the schools, how dare they? I was having to Google up some stuff. Because there was some third grade math that they have turned into sentences somehow that was totally beyond my understanding. I said, God, I don't want to go to prison today. So, Lord, please, please, God, help Jeremy to get off work at 5 o'clock. Because me and this kid, we're too much alike for that. But see, tell that heart. See, you've got to get yourself lined up with the Word of God. And there's things that you need to wake up in the morning. You see, God, open up my understanding. How many of you have gone through a battle, a struggle, a season, and it seems so rough, and you say, God, I don't even understand why I'm going through this. See, God will open up your understanding, and not only will he open it up, but man, he'll make you treasure the fact that he walked you through something. Those valleys, those deep seasons, those dark seasons in your life, be careful, because look here, when you really get a hold of God in that moment, what you're going to realize is he's had a hold of you, and he hasn't let you go. And that heart, see, the Word of God says, I'm going to take that heart of stone, and I'm going to make it into a heart of flesh. You'll fall so in love with God just by the fact that he shows up every day in our lives, see. But there's some things that we have to do. And it says, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight, and if you cry aloud for understanding. See, when is the last time you said, God, give me some insight on this? God, give me insight. God, give me insight. Lord, open up this understanding about this situation. And it says, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. See, you got to be looking for it. Look for it. So many people, we wake up in a bad mood. How many of you wake up and somebody will say, well, how'd you sleep? Well, just terrible. Terrible. I'm tired. Sometimes I'll catch myself at 8 o'clock. I am so tired. And I'm really not tired, but I've just gotten myself to saying I'm tired so much that it starts my day out tired. So I'm trying to say, I am refreshed. I am really on one today, Jeremy. I am going to be a good girl today. I'm going to do what God tells me to do today. I'm going to be at the right place at the right time for the divine appointments that God has gotten scheduled for me today. see, God has understanding for you and wisdom for you every single day of your life. God created you to be a blessing. Baby, where's that picture that I asked you to do? Now, look here. I'm a very modern type of girl, and God talks to me anywhere I go. Now, I was in Kirkland's. How many of y'all like Kirkland's? It's kind of like a Hobby Lobby. I went to Hobby Lobby after I went to Kirkland's yesterday because I felt the need, Crystal, to have a new something snazzy for my kitchen table because I've realized that I've gotten this table and the only thing it's good for is all the junk mail. So I'm trying to get that figured out in my life. They send me more junk mail than I don't know what. And I was looking at all the pretty signs, and this one really spoke to me, and it says, "The world needs who you were made to be." The world needs who you were made to be. See, you have a destiny. You have a calling. You have something that God created you to do in this life, and nobody else can do it but you. Nobody else. See, that's why it's so important to be the very best version of you. Because when you ain't, there's lives that hang there in the balance. And so, it says here in verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Let me tell you something. We're going to go back to what we said about God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but we live off of every single word that comes up out of the mouth of God. Now, we've just read here in verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." You have to be a teachable, trainable person to receive the word and the knowledge and the wisdom that God is trying to impart in your life. The other day, I was driving in the church van, and that used to be a real challenge for me, but I've gotten pretty good at driving that van. I have, Mike. No. And so I was driving this van, and I was on my way to do a funeral. And I thought, something is wrong with the van. I said, "God, what is wrong with the van?" "Sherry, there was nothing wrong with the van. You know what it was? There's no Sirius radio up in that van." It's been so long, I thought they put them in everything. They don't. My husband does. It's not that high tech. And then I started hearing the motor of the van. I stopped the van. I was like, "What is this noise?" "It's just the thing running." The whole ride up to Magazine, I was baffled. I said, "God, I feel so weird." He said, "Kelly, that's silent. Begin to pray." See, you want to hear what God's saying to you? Make time for God. You want to hear what God has to say about that battle that you're facing? Shut everything off. Shut it up. Say, "God, speak to me. Lord, I'm listening. God, right now I ask you, God, to just open my understanding. God, I have found myself in the middle of a battle, God, that I didn't ask for. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to open up this heart. God, open up this mind. Lord, help me to understand what I'm going through. Daddy, God, help me to never have to go through this again. Lord, help me to learn, God, and understand what I'm going through." Look here, make time for God. The whole way up there I was praying, and man, I just was getting down, and I was thinking, everybody probably thinks I'm insane that's passing me, but I was just praying over everything, over everybody, all of y'all, all the people that ain't here that are going to be here. I was praying about everything. And I rolled up in that funeral and I was like, they didn't tell me this was all pasture land and downhill. I wore the wrong shoes for this. But see, God wants to open up your understanding, and God wants to talk to people. See, look here. God wants to really have a moment with you where he can talk with you. See, can God talk to you? Can he talk to you? I know most of the time when my parents call me, here's what they say, both of them, and it makes me feel terrible. Kelly, I know you're busy, but look here. What if that's God? Are you too busy for God to talk to you? Let me just give you a hint. You're not. You're not. Can he talk with you? Can he tell you what he wants to do in your life? And so it says here, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And I want to tell you something. I've really, over the last couple of years, the way that I've began to minister has really evolved. I used to have to write every single word down. Look here, here's what we got. Because let me tell you something. If you'll just do what God called you to do, he'll put the words in your mouth. In Jeremiah, he began to call Jeremiah to be a great prophet, a great man of God. And Jeremiah said, I can't. And he said, don't say that you can't. Don't say that you're just a child. And he reached down. God himself reached down and he touched his mouth. And he said, now today, Jeremiah, I've put my words in your mouth. See, what if everything that you said lined up with the word of God? And when you spoke power. When you prayed, you seed results. When you laid your hands on somebody and they're sick and they don't feel good, what if they saw evidence that God is exactly who that he says that he is? See, God's not got a busted up life for you. God has a life of victory for you. But look here. Now, this is something that I heard and I think is insane. Now, we're not going to get off into world events because I try to steer away from them. But I heard that if you get the corona shot, they'll give you a lottery ticket that you can scratch off. Let me tell you something. You still got to claim that ticket. If you win $1 million off of that, look here. You got to turn that thing in and say, that's mine. Amen. The victory of God, you got to claim that in and say, I'm not going to walk in fear over this. God's already said I have the victory. He already gave me that voucher. In verse 7, here is a promise of God. He holds victory in store for the upright. See, losing should never be an option for you. God's not called you to lose. He's called you to win. He's called you to be a victor. But let me tell you something. If you want that life, you better line up your life and your thought life and your actions and every single thing that you do. You better line it up with the Word of God. What is your best shot at doing that? Say, God, today is Sunday. You give me my marching orders. Where do you want me to be? God, what do you want me to do? Lord, open up my understanding about what this is going on in my life. Talk to God. And then when he begins to talk to you, listen. So many people, and I hate to say it, Pastor Kelly, such and such is going on in my life. I don't know what God is telling me to do about it. Okay, let's pray. We pray. God tells them what to do. Ooh. No, I don't want to do that. No. No. No, I'll do anything but that. No, look here. That's the one thing that's holding you up. See, does God have the right to tell you what to do? And are we smart enough to listen? Because see, if not, we're going to go round and round. It says that he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Let me tell you something. In the beginning of 2019, it was January, and I said, God, This is a brand new year. I am not going to make New Year's resolutions because I never stick to those. I'm not going to tell myself I'm going to lose 20 pounds because I'm not going to do that. If I'm not careful, I will gain 20 pounds. Lord, that's just keeping it real. But God, what would you like me to pray for this year? What would you like to do with me this year? Sherry said this very clearly to me. Kelly, ask me for Logan County. Kelly, I want to do things out of this ministry this town has never even seen. Begin to ask me for Logan County. I said, God, in Jesus' name, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over Logan County. God, I ask that you would saturate this county with the very presence of who you are. God, every drug addict, God, I ask that you'd set them free. Lord, for every dope dealer, God, I ask that you'd shut them down and save them. God, for every person, God, that's struggling in their marriages in this county, God, I ask that you'd save that marriage. Lord, for every person, God, that really wants to be free, God, I ask that you'd make them free. See, what is God telling you to pray for? What does he want you to pray about? One of the things that God showed me is he said, Kelly, look in the Word. What do you see? What do you see that I always did? Well, the thing that stuck out to me the most was that he always fed people. Always fed people. Jesus would gather people, he would gather them, and then he'd feed them. He said, pray for that. And I said, God, make it so. Lord, the very heart of what you want to go on up in here, God, make it so. I had a teeny tiny little SUV, and I started taking it up to a food bank, and I started loading that food bank up. The food there in that little SUV. See, a lot of people think I'm too uppity to load that stuff up in my car. I'm not. It's just evolved. Soon after that, I began to take the van, getting food in the van. After that, I began to take that. I don't know whose phone that is. Brother Charlie, take that person to back. All right, folks, we're going to gather ourselves. I know just how to do that. I'll just walk up and down these aisles, get loud and proud. Then we began to get truckloads of food. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God because look here, whatever God tells you to pray on, pray on it, pray over it, pray through it. Believe God, because look here, my mama didn't tell me that was going to happen. God told me it was going to happen. And I said, God, open up my understanding for what you want to do up in here with this church, because God, whatever it is, I'll do it. Look here, Monday night rolls around. Here we are. What are we doing? What God said to do. What God said to do. Monday was a very difficult day for me. I did start out a little tired, and I thought, you know, it won't hurt nothing for me to just not do the jail ministry today. It's just one day. I was almost going to do that little calling in business. Look here, when God called me to this ministry, God didn't call a little sissy-fied girl. He called Ellie Mae, and I'll get the job done. I said, God, I'm not going to do that because them girls are going to be disappointed. God, make me well able to do everything up in this day that you've called me to do. God, where I come up short today, God, you're going to make the difference. Daddy, God, I'm on my way to the jail right now. And see, I preached my heart out to them girls. Then I came, and I began to cook this food to deliver to the senior citizens. Well, let me tell you something. Anytime you're going to do something for God, the devil's going to have a real problem with that. See, if the devil's not challenging you, you probably ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing for God. Because anytime that you're going to set your foot to do what God tells you to do, to go where God calls you to go, see, you don't got the luxury of that negative thinking that we've been on. See, God's calling you up to bigger and better. God doesn't have negativity for you. But let me tell you something. You got to get up out of yourself, because yourself will come up with some excuses ain't nobody ever even heard of. I've heard it all. My cat's sick. Get over that. I've heard it all. Let me tell you something. Don't get mad at me. God's wanting people suit up and show up. Why? Because we go back to that picture. This world here that we're living up in, it needs who you were supposed to be. Not the watered-down version. Not the watered-down version. See, the one thing that our sheriff says about me, she's very passionate. You know what that means? She's very loud. You're darn right I'm loud. I want everybody to hear it, the people in the back, the people at this place over here. I want them all to hear it. Why? Because God's been good. Because he's been faithful. Because he's never left. That's why. So here we are Monday. We've got this hatchback of mine. Got it open. How many of you know I love Sister Blabbermouth? I had her with me. And I had Keisha with me. We're standing at the back of this SUV of mine with the hats open, dead center. We was getting out three meals. Keisha here was in the back putting in produce. She turned around, and I saw on her face the most awful look I'd ever seen on her face. And she began to say, "Get out of the way. Get out of the way." She started yelling at the top of her lungs. And just out of the corner of my eye, I glance over, and there's a big old bus coming dead center for that car. By golly, Sister Blabbermouth, that don't think nothing can ever bad happen to her because she's up with the pastor, and the pastor's got superpowers. I shoved her to the ground. And then guess what? I stepped over. The moment I stepped over, that SUV of mine, bam, crunch. Then it began to lift the car up off the ground. All me and Sister Blabbermouth did was duck, and all I could feel was that glass coming up over us. Let me tell you something. It was not an accident that I was preaching Psalm 91 the day before. Amen? Because let me tell you something. I had been planting Psalm 91 in my heart the week prior. What does Psalm 91 say? Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God. Let me tell you something. They was all looking at me because they know that car is like a member of my family. That's my baby. Keisha goes, "Pastor Kelly, I'm so sorry about your car." It's like it was a death in the family. I could feel them tears wanting to come to my eyeballs. And I thought, oh, no, devil. Uh-uh. That's right. First of all, I done got my fake lashes on. We ain't going to mess them up over this fender bender we got going on over here. But, devil, you done messed with the wrong girl. Let me just inform you of a few things. I'm not surprised, devil, that you picked on a Monday to do this because you know this food ministry is like my baby. Look here, that car, them things are a dime a dozen. This life right here, see, what if I would have gotten out of the will of God just for that moment, just for that day? Well, see, now let me tell you something about God. I have been praying all week. God, open up my understanding. God, open up my understanding. That was a new house. We passed it the first time. I am very directionally challenged. Don't tell me north or east. That ain't going to work. I need to know where Walmart is and where the place I'm going in relation to Walmart. That's all I need to know. Passed this house, pulled over, had to get the little GPS, had to turn around. I found it the second time. Look here. I said, "God, I know that I was in the right place at the right time, and this happened. God, I'm not going to question you and get mad at you, God. Lord, I ask you right now that every person that was involved in this thing on Monday, God, I ask that you'd open up all of our understanding. God, give us wisdom. Lord, I believe that you're going to make something good come up out of this. So, God, right now, I just plead the blood of Jesus over this whole situation. Lord, let people get saved off of that fender bender. God, let them realize how precious life is. The first thing Sister Blabbermouth says, she goes, Pastor Kelly, the devil's trying to take you out. I said, Sister, devil's trying to take you out. You see what I've been telling you for the last 5 years? How valuable and important you are? See, let me tell you something. I had to shove her so hard. And all I had to do was step over. See, life will want to knock you down so many times. Get back up. Get back up. Life will knock you down plenty of times. But look here, you got a God that he said, I will raise you up time and time again. I will not let you stay down. I will work all things out for your good. Look here, it's up to you to stand back up. It's up to you to stand back up. Forward is always forward. It don't matter if you're crawling forward or if you're running forward. Forward's always forward. Go on. Get back up in your life. You can't afford to stay down. The devil would like for you to. I must be really getting into this. So it says here, for he guards the course of the just, and he protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what it is, what is right and just and fair. Every good path for wisdom will enter your heart. Look here, I'm going to read that again. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. There's things that we partake in, they ain't right, they ain't just, and they ain't fair. Look here, God's going to open up understanding. So when you get off, you're going to know it. You're looking at somebody, I was engaged 3 times. I told Dad one day, because he always told me this story growing up. He always said, I heard in the middle of the night to marry your mother. God told me to marry her. And I thought, I got a problem. Because I don't know who's talking to me, but I've been picking some dummy-dums. And as I tell my kids, God, what's my problem? I can't pick them right. And then I called Dad. I said, me and you need to have a conversation because, see, I feel like you've been telling me this story my whole life, but I never know the front end of that. How do you get God to wake you up in the middle of the night and tell you marry somebody? I need to know. One day we got up in his truck, and I said, how did you know to marry Mom? He said, God just spoke. He spoke. He spoke to me. I said, I feel like God is speaking to me to not marry this person. But how do I know for sure? He said, God will just speak to you. Kelly, listen. 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 I was in the car with this dude. We was like nose to nose. We'd have killed each other if we got married. And I had prayed that morning. I said, God, help me to be able to see what I need to see. Lord, open up this understanding because, God, you know I'm not very smart. I've done this a few times. I was sitting in the car with this dude, and here he was at it again. Let me tell you something. If you always, let me give you a single people a good token of advice. If you always fighting, that's a red flag. That's called a red flag. And here it is. God's going, don't do that. You married the wrong person. That'll be the only ministry you ever do. You're going to be so tied up with that person, worrying about where they are, what they're doing, all that nonsense. And see, I had prayed just a few hours. And here we are in the middle of this heated thing. And I'm stubborn. I'm going to argue till the death of it. I don't care. And I felt something brush over my face. And for the first time in a year, I was able to see. And God spoke to me that day. He said, Kelly, this is all you'll ever do if you marry him. This is it. This is all you'll ever do. Let me tell you something. I got more things important to do than being wrapped up in a man. Because look here, I love Jeremy, but look here, he is not responsible for my happiness. Because I don't even know what makes me happy most of the time, and I can't expect him to. Well, I didn't marry him. I married sweet old Pastor Jeremy. Look here, that's the best man I know. Bless him, Lord. Please bless him. He's put up with me for 13 years. Let me tell you something. God wants to talk to you. God wants to talk to you. I was asking God the other day. I said, Lord, I feel like we're at a point in the road. Tell me what to pray about the direction. And he began to tell me so crystal clear. Let me tell you something. When you don't know what to pray, God will tell you what to pray. When you don't know which way to go, if you'll be quiet and get in that secret place that the Word of God talks about, God will begin to open up that understanding. See, you can be at the right place at the right time, and something that you think negative could happen. I was looking at that black car getting put on that wrecker. I said, well, Lord, that's still a beautiful car. And God, whatever you want to do with this story, you just do it. God, you just use it. Well, I pulled up to the Sonic. How many of you love Sonic? I want to just do a little advertisement for them real quickly. They have a little drink down there, and the first part of that drink is a blue slush. The next part of it is ice cream, and the next part of it is a strawberry slush. Now, I thought that's too much sugar for me. I'm getting older, and I don't like things so sweet anymore. Let me tell you what, that is a must. You need to go down there and get one before they stop selling them. Seems like everything you like, they're going to stop selling it, but you need to get you one. And anyhow, I forgot where I was going with that, but we're going to keep on with the story. It'll come back to me. That's another thing that happens as you get a little older. You get into things. But anyhow, I was telling God, Lord, you just do what you want to do with that. Whatever you want to do, God, do it. So I pulled up at the Sonic. Here we go. Found my place. I pulled up at the Sonic, and all these little girls, I call them, they're young women, probably early 20s. They all poke their little cute heads out the Sonic window. They go, Pastor Kelly, I'm so sorry for what happened to you. What happened? I said, baby, let me tell you what happened. God is what happened. God's what happened. The Lord was there. He plumb moved us up out of the way. See, how you telling it back to what happened to you? How you telling it back? How you telling that story back that you think done wrecked your life? I'm not going to give the devil the gratification. He's already in trouble for the car thing to begin with. I thought, man, this is an opportunity to glorify God. Because you know what? Some of them chicks up there at the Sonic, I've been trying to get them to come to church and put God first, and they haven't done it yet. But guess what, Miss Sherry? They're going to. Why? Because that seed is being planted every time I see them. How you doing? What's God doing in your life? Yeah, I got in a little fender bender. Look how good I look. Do I look busted up? I'm not busted up. I know that sounds cocky. Look here. I could look a whole lot different than this right here. Tuesday night, I got up in my bed. So, Jeremy, I'm just going to need you to stay downstairs. Because I'm going to have a moment. And I don't need you up here in the thick of it. Because I'm going to be crazy. And I'm going to have myself a little crying episode. Because I can feel it well enough. My expects are going, oh, yeah. I've learned after 13 years that it's nice of me to give a forewarning when I feel it coming on. I said, honey, stay downstairs. I got up in my bed with my new pink sheets with the pockets on the side. And I pulled them covers up and I just cried. I said, Lord, I'm feeling a little down right now about this whole situation. Lord, what do you have to say to me about this? He said, Kelly, here's what you take out of it. I want you to focus in your prayer life. And I pulled those sheets and I began to look at my legs. Now, this may sound crazy to y'all, but see, the more specific your prayer life is, I said, God, Lord, thank you for preserving my life. God, let me live out all of my days. Lord God, I want to die an old woman. God, I want to see my children's, 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 children. Daddy God, when I go, I just want to lay my head down and I want to give it up. God, when I go, I don't want to be mangled up. Lord, I want to leave this life exactly how I came, with all my pieces. Focus it in. Are you praying for a husband or a wife? Don't just say, God, give me a husband. God, give me a wife. Look here. That's like saying, just give me a smorgasbord of whatever. You don't want that. One of the very earliest memories of my mother was her praying over my bed when I was about 4 years old. She thought I was sleeping. I was playing possum. You country people know what possum means. She put her hand over me, Tyranny, and she said, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for that husband, for Kelly. God, let him be a man of God. Lord, let him speak in tongues. God, let him be able to pray. God, help him to be able to handle Kelly. Look here, those are important prayers. If you ain't praying over your children, ask God, Lord, focus this in for me. What do you want me to pray for my children? A couple days ago, Pastor Jeremy and I, we were in this church, as we are almost every single day. And I stopped him right there and I said, baby, let's pray. And see, we just begin to plead the blood of Jesus over this place. Because look here, once again, God's going to do something in this place this town has not ever even seen or heard about. Let me tell you something. Zero in. Zero in on it. You want to know what you're going through? Ask God. After you ask him, listen. Say, God, open up these ears. Lord, open up my understanding. I want to know what's going on, God. And it says here, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who leave the straight paths to walk in dark ways. Look here. Sometimes when you're walking on that walk, the straight and narrow is going to get lonely. Why? Because, see, people are leaving that path every day. Who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Let me tell you something. Everybody's got something. Some reason why they ain't doing the right thing. Excuses are a dime a dozen. But there will be a day. That day is called Judgment Day, where we will all face him and we will give an account for every single thing that we did. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. There it is again. Keep the commands in your heart. What did we just read in Proverbs chapter 2? To store up those commands, to store up God's will in your life. Store those things up. Here we've read, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they, those commands that you've stored up, those ones, will prolong your life. How many of you want to leave here before your time? Nope. When you pray, God, let me live out all of my days. Lord, let me finish the race when I'm supposed to finish it. Amen? Focus in those prayers. You've got family out there, and you're hurting over that family, and you want that family to come to know God. Lord, whatever it takes. See, a lot of times, we want God to move, but we don't want Him to move unless it's how we think He should. There's a problem with that, and it's because the way He thinks is so far above how we think. That sometimes when stuff happens, we almost get mad at God because we would have never done them that way. Let me tell you something. Trust Him. Trust Him. He's not going to let you down. Make time for God to speak to you because God wants to speak to you. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. We're such an emotional society. Have you noticed that? A very emotional society. People tell you plumb off on Facebook and too scared to tell you hi in the grocery store. It's this world that we're living in. Then you will win favor and a good name. See, you ever pray for the favor of God? The favor of God is won. Be who you're supposed to be. Be where you're supposed to be. Do what you're supposed to do. You know why I'm living today? Because I was right there where I was supposed to be. You know where I took out of that? Lord God, when there's a storm coming, when it's coming full force, God, all I need is to hear you say, move over and just step over. Because God, it ain't coming over here. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, there's things that's happened and you've woke up and you've said about your life, now this wasn't supposed to be my life. This wasn't supposed to be how it was. Look here, don't lean on only the things that you can understand. Lean on God. There's things that you're not going to understand. Ask Him to open up your understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. In everything that you do, acknowledge Him. Make His presence the most important thing in your life. And He will make your paths straight. I love when Brother Tommy sings, and here's what I love about it. First of all, he's just as vibrant today as when he was singing in the 80s. The only difference is He used to have them socks. Remember them socks that you used to be able to kind of mush down and put over your pants? You would wear them like this. And Brother Tommy was the coolest, most hippest person ever. He still is. And when he started singing, he's always done this, and I've always deeply respected it. If the brother's off, he's going to stop the music. Hold on. I didn't start on time. Hold on. Let's start again. I've seen him do that two or three times before. There's times where we get off. Don't be so prideful that you just keep going. Because when you keep going and you know you're off, you've just given the devil a foothold to come into your life and wreak havoc. You don't want that. The moment that you know that you've gotten off, stop right there. Get back on track and do what God said to do. Because let me tell you something. You want to live out all of your days. You want to be who you're supposed to be. You're very needed. You're very important. You are enough. Brother Sam used to buy eggs. And I said, Sam, quit buying eggs for the church. You're making me feel bad. Then he would buy milk. And I would say, Sam, stop buying all this milk. Well, I got to notice in everything that Sam bought, the Lord would just make it to where people would begin to donate those things. Several months ago, I had a lady, I don't know her from Adam, still don't know her real well. She said, God spoke to me, and he told me that I'm to take my eggs to you. And I said, okay. So the first time she brought those farm fresh eggs, which we have some here in the back for you today, she said, now the only thing that I'm going to do, my only stipulation about giving you these eggs is one thing. I want to pray every time I give them to you. Look here. If you don't pray for your pastor, I want you to start praying for your pastors, because let me tell you something, we need your prayer and your support. So look here, I can never have too much prayer. Please pray. So Friday, she called me up. She said, I've got several dozen eggs for you, and I want to bring them to the church today. And I said, okay. And she said, I want to pray for you. Is there anything I can pray for? And I explained her a smidge of what happened. And she began to pray the most detailed prayer I think I've ever heard in my life. Now, some people, long prayers make them nervous. I love long prayer. Look here. Pray for me. Yep. Look here. I will get a seat and let you pray till you think you're done. I just eat that up. She started praying. She said, this is a long prayer. Can I continue? And I said, yes. Keisha, she began to pray for the passengers in that car. She said, Lord, every fear, every bit of anxiety that's gone on, God, I pray right now, peace. And she began to pray for those women. Then she began to pray for me, and she said, God, in Jesus' name, let Pastor Kelly never be caught off guard with this again. Let me tell you something. Narrow it in. Narrow it in. Focus it in. Just like you're taking a picture. Zoom it in. Because look here. God wants to answer them prayers. Be specific. Be specific. In closing, here's what I want to say. If there's some areas in your life, this is a twofold thing. And you can say, God, I need your help in some areas. Number one. But number two, Lord, if you'll speak to me, I'm going to do what you've said. See, this altar call ain't for the person that you're going to let God talk to you and then you're not going to listen and do what he said. Because let me tell you something, tomorrow ain't promised to nobody. God wants to speak to you about those places in your life where you keep coming up not having enough, where you keep coming up and you haven't been able to succeed. See, God's got victory for you. He's got it stored up. And he wants to talk to you. But let me tell you something. Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to listen? If you've got that going on this morning and you're going to act on what he says, I'm going to ask you to stand. Let me tell you something. God wants to talk to people. He wants to begin to minister to you. But you're going to have ears that's going to be willing to listen, to direct you, to place you right where you need to be, to make that path very straight. He has victory stored up. But see, what you need stored up is the wisdom of what he said to do. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, all over the place today, God, I plead the blood of Jesus, God, over every person. Lord, I ask you to help us to narrow in, God, your word. God, the promises of what you've told us. God, right now, Lord, help us to be able to listen to your words. God, to obey the things that you've told us to do. God, I ask that you'd help us to have courage to make difficult choices. Lord, and not looking back. All I see is somebody's looking back and God's telling you if you'd look forward, there's the best things are straight ahead. But you're going to have to stop looking back. Lord, we thank you right now. God, and we praise you right now for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.